listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the show today. I'm pretty excited. You know why? So a couple of things occurred to me. So right before this show, I was doing another show. And what this is a show that I'm doing tomorrow night. Now, I'm doing a live performance tomorrow night, music. Okay? And it's going to be fun. And here's what it is. And if you want to see it, go there. So just check out my Facebook page. It's just my name. And I've got a show, and it's called Where the Light Finds You. Where the Light Finds You. And the reason I'm telling you about this is because what it made me think about was preparation. We've got the Olympics running right now, right? And in between all the events, they've got all these stories going on. And there was the, you know, I live in Canada, so the women's hockey and the men's hockey are a big deal. And they're the first and second most watched events, obviously, not obviously, but they are here in Canada. And a Canadian guy, I think, in Big Air did some good stuff on the snowboard. But anyway, so this is about preparation. And so I was just having a session with preparing the show, actually delivering the show for a very critical audience. My own coach, my vocal coach, who's been working with me for, I don't know, a decade at least. But anyway, and the show's ready. But it got me to thinking about preparation. And in between all the other stuff that I'm doing during the day, every day we've got the Olympics running. So all day long, the TV is running, and we don't normally do that. Wouldn't matter if we did, but it's on the Olympics. And my wife is an avid skater. She taught skating when she was young. She practiced starting, I don't know, probably at three or something, one of those, and got to be quite accomplished and did some professional work. And also taught skating, taught hockey players even how to skate, et cetera, et cetera. And so she's got that on a lot. And I've watched a couple of the games, and something I've really learned to like since I got up here was curling, you know, where they push those great big rocks across the ice. And I have to confess, I was born in San Francisco and raised in San Francisco Bay Area, so I'm native Californian, and I've spent all my life west of the Rockies. And my wife and I are both dual nationals, so I hold Canadian citizenship, too. And I came up here in 2003, 23 or 4 years ago, and did some work for the government, and was up here for several years and ended up getting citizenship. So I have both, and so we moved back and forth. But anyway, I'd never even heard of curling until I lived up here for a little while. And I have to admit, you know, pushing rocks across ice seemed kind of silly. But as I watch it now and I see the calculation and how those guys, I don't know if you've seen it, but, you know, they're like way down by the ground, very limber. And I did a lot of martial arts in my years, so I was pretty limber. But I just watched them and how they just slide forward and do this calculated release. Pretty darn impressive. All right. So when I think about that event or the Big Air or the skeleton, you know, where you go down that luge run on your face first, about 3 inches from the ice, death on a stick. Yeah, that. When you think about the preparation that goes into anyone that is doing anything at that kind of level, what does it take? Now, the concert tomorrow night, I want to mention that again because that's the context here, and that's what I was thinking about before I came on to talk to you. And so I want to invite you. I would invite you to come. And if you want to know where it is, it's not hard. Kellen Flukiger is a really weird name, right? So you're not going to have any trouble finding me on Facebook. There's only one other one in the world, and that one's my son. And he's noticeably a few years younger. So he's in his 40s, and I just turned 70. So I'm doing this concert. And here's what it is, and it's professional. This is just like Olympics and other things, because I've been a professional musician all off and on all my life. So, but I decided to do this for a particular reason. When you and I go through things, it shapes us. Maybe they're good things, maybe they're bad things. Tough things or glorious things. I saw one more Olympic vignette here. There was a guy, they just did the skiing Big Air. Now, the guy in the Canadian guy did really good on the snowboard. But this guy was already guaranteed a silver medal. Because, I don't, if you know, on the snowboard and the skiing, on the Big Air anyway, and maybe on other ones too, they have three passes and they only count the score on the best two of them to do their scores. And he'd landed monster jumps on his first two, so he was done. I mean, he had a third run, but he didn't have to prove anything. What that did for him is it set him free. And so he was able to try the most awesome, outrageous thing. I think it was a guy from Finland, one of the Scandinavian countries. It slips my mind right this second. But anyway, so we did, and he did this most outrageous, 200 million, 47 and a half, I don't know, and landed it perfect and won the gold. So he was guaranteed a silver, and he just went for it all in. And you could see the calculation in his face as he stood there ready to go. He was dancing like, I'm going. I'm doing this. And that's the kind of energy and effort that any of us can have at any minute, but we don't. We hold back. We pull it in. We're afraid. Maybe we're afraid we're going to get hurt. Now, most of us aren't doing runs like that or anything even close. So the idea that we're going to get physically hurt is pretty small, right? That's just micro. But we're scared of being embarrassed or looking stupid or forgetting things. And as I just did this last run through the concert today, preparing for tomorrow, and again, go on my Facebook page, Where the Light Finds You, find events, register. I'd love to see you there. It's about an hour. And what it is it's nine original songs and the stories that go with them that come out of the books that I've written. And all the books that I've written are about growth and self-improvement and tightrope of depression, my own journey. And this is mostly from that, about stories of struggle and of recovery and healing. So if you want to be moved and lifted, I don't care what you're doing. At 6 Pacific, 7 Mountain Time, 9 Eastern, I don't care what you're doing. This will be better. And you can get mad at me later for saying that if you want to. But anyway, so preparation. And after you've done your prep, when you're doing your performance, whatever it is, I don't care if it's in a boardroom or on a ski slope, or sitting in front of a keyboard like I'm going to tomorrow night, and like I was just before I got on here, you're not preparing anymore. You're not practicing. It is the time to go get it done. And I say it with that kind of emphasis because it was so clear that that's what this dude was doing. And, I got kids that are 20 years older than him. He was in his 23 or 4, I think. And you could just see it. He was going to go get this done. And he did. And he could have crashed and burned. I saw plenty of those over all the days of people that tried difficult things, girls and boys, men and women. But they went for it. They went for it. Life is too short to go half-assed. So what I want to talk about today is preparing for the show. For me, it's a concert tomorrow. For that guy on the skis, it was all these months and years leading up to today when he laid it on the line. For you, it's life every day because life is every day. Sometimes there's a big marker. We lay down a marker. This is an event. And we got to do it. We got to get it on, right? But mostly life isn't like that. Life is like, okay, same day as yesterday. SSDD, same stuff, different day. Why do we live like that? Every day is different, so there is no same stuff. One of the things I've learned, and I've been talking about your ultimate life now for a decade or more. I've been doing the podcast 6 years. This is several years, 4 years, I think, here. And even 3 or 4 years before that, I coined that, your ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy. Well, you don't get your ultimate life half-assed. You don't get your ultimate life going in with less than ultimate gusto, less than ultimate commitment, less than ultimate training, ultimate effort, ultimate, like, movement. You just don't get it. If you show up half-baked, guess what? You get half-baked. If that guy had thought, oh, yeah, I got this silver, I'll just do something, you know, I just don't want to crash and look stupid. Well, he risked it all and did an incredible move. And the announcers were, oh, no, he's doing, oh, wow, no, it's a blah, blah, and they were saying whatever it was, you know, the degrees, the number of turns. I remember, it's funny, I remember when they used to think a 720, which is two turns, 360, 720, and then a 1080, ooh. The guy before this guy, he did a 2160. That's six times around and some other stuff. You know, grabbed the skis and did some other stuff. Incredible. Incredible. So this is an invitation for you to treat life every day like a performance, because you only get this day once. And I'm not saying you can't have lazy days where you go and lay around and binge watch Netflix. Yeah, okay, whatever. Then do it all in. Binge watch like crazy, right? Eat the chips, watch the show, and enjoy the hell out of it. No guilt, no complex. Get it on, even that. All right, so this show today isn't about my concert, even though tomorrow there is a concert. Today, tonight, and during the day tomorrow, and that's at 6 o'clock tomorrow night Pacific time, Facebook page, my name, Kellen Flukiger, find the events, where the light finds you. But tonight's about prep. Now, it's on Zoom. The world's going to see a performance. It's like I saw. Anybody that was watching saw that guy lay it down. Do a performance. You know what? Nobody sees the prep behind it. Nobody sees that. That's not the glamour. That's not the glory. That's the grit behind it. Everybody wants the stage. Almost nobody wants the woodshed. Now, there's an old phrasing, you may know it, you know, woodshedding. That's like, you know, practicing on your own. You go woodshed. That's do your work in the woodshed where nobody's watching, nobody can hear. Okay? But you know what? Everybody wants the limelight, but nobody wants to do the work that is that. And you know what I noticed when that guy, both of them, the guy before him did the 2160, he ended up silver and doing a 2160, which, you know, there are very, 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 very few of. And then this guy did some other outrageous thing that wasn't that, but had some flips in it as well as spins. And I don't know how they can keep track of where the ground is. But then I don't prepare that, right? So whatever it is that you're preparing, you've got specific things, but we have life every day. And you know what? Nobody's seen. How many thousand hours has that kid been on the hill? How many thousand times has he fallen down? I know Sean White, you know, 20 years ago or so, was the king of snowboarding, half pipe. Did all kinds of stuff. And the only reason I know this is they did a television special on it. He built a great big foam pit where he could do half pipe stuff in the summer and fall on those, you know, those big blocks of foam. This pit was full of that, so he could kill himself. Right? So here's the reality of preparation. Decades of preparation, even after decades of performing. I was in a group in Phoenix, a singing group, a professional singing group. It was fabulous. Very large choir, like 300 people. And it had an orchestra of 70, full-on orchestra. And it was the best orchestra and choir I've ever seen in the world. And I'm talking against the biggest and best. And we traveled and performed in cathedrals and stuff all over. And we released albums and charted number one on Billboard. I think three times while I was with him, and I was only with him 7 years from 2009 to 16 and left 9 years ago now because we moved up to Canada and they're not here. They're now six or seven locations. But anyway, the guy and his brother that started it and were leading it, they were, you know, very, very proficient musicians. One was a Juilliard graduate and one was University of Cincinnati music and composition. But here's the thing. When we did shows, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it was a piano part where the conductor would play with the orchestra one of the tough piano pieces. And, you know, I'm a pianist, okay, and I even have played or learned some of the songs that I heard him perform, and I know what kind of prep he was doing to get up and perform like he did. So, I invite you to consider what you are preparing for in your life, because preparing never stops. I don't care how long you've been performing. Still correcting something. Tweaks on the movement. For me as a vocalist, tweaks on the breath, on the shoulders, on the posture, phrasing. After the performance, my coach said, well, that was really good. And he listed a whole bunch of things. And he said, you know, I know the concert's tomorrow, but you might think about, and gave me some things to think about. Why would he do that? The concert's tomorrow. And then he said, you know, I think that just remembering this thought will help you change it up or do the thing that he was talking about. And he's absolutely right. Absolutely right. It's wired and grounded and burned into my head. So it's going to be different tomorrow night because I did that one more performance for the coach right now. So the point is, your preparation is never going to end. I don't care if you ski or if you play or if you do whatever you do. Preparation is part of life. And living all in, all out, full out, however you want to describe that. I mean, we're free to live half-assed, but it isn't a lot of fun. So let's start there. I challenge you to make a commitment right here, right now, to yourself, that your preparation, your willingness to live and go all in starts today and never ends. You never arrive. Mastery is never arrived at. That's why I give you another example. In 2000, I went to see a Yo-Yo Ma concert. Now, this was years ago. It was 2007, I think, so 19 years ago, 18 years ago. 18 and a half, because it was in September, I think. And Yo-Yo Ma is the greatest cellist who ever touched the instrument. And he practices incessantly. But the result of that is his mastery in connection with the instrument is unmatched. When he leans in and touches the instrument, he melds with it. And just every single thing is part of that performance. And we in the audience, it's electric. But it wouldn't come without that preparation, right? What have you prepared at that level? Because you're that good. Or you could be. And so every time I see someone, the snowboarder, the skier, the other skier, Yo-Yo Ma, anybody at that level of mastery, it reminds me. It doesn't make me feel bad, jealous, or anything. It reminds me I have that. You have that. Your life is your masterpiece. Damn it. Lean in and give it everything you got. So let's talk about what gets in the way of that and how to get past that. Because preparation replaces panic. It really does. Okay, it's not that fear disappears. Courage is doing things anyway. And sometimes, I know this from musical performance, sometimes when you're performing, like even right now, just like an hour ago, when I was in the middle of that concert, something happens and there's not a synapse of connection. Something you forget, and a chord or a word in the lyrics or whatever, right? And what happens is you default to your preparation. That's why people that are masters prepare, so that when nothing is there, the only thing that's there is the prep. All right, so let's talk about what gets in the way of committing to anything. I'm done talking about a particular sport, except I'll probably reference it. What is it that gets in the way of you or me or any of us preparing for absolute mastery of something, right? Ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy. I'm committed to my purpose. My purpose is to start this university, Ultimate Life University, to reach 300 million people, to help you, me, each of us, do everything we can to create purpose, prosperity, and joy, add good to the world, do something more than accumulate money and greed. Because that's what we're called to do. That's my purpose, and I spend all day, every day doing that. Writing books, preparing shows, being on this, interviewing others, being interviewed. All of that because I love you, and I've decided to be that guy. All right, so what gets in the way? Well, I can't tell you everything that gets in the way of everybody, but I can tell you the common things because I've been coaching for nearly 20 years. And so I've heard all these things a million times, even out of my own mouth, right? The first thing that gets in the way is fear. We're afraid of something. Now, like the physical things, when I was doing martial arts, I was afraid of getting my head kicked in. Happened a couple times. I have a chipped front tooth because there was a guy that was a couple of degrees of black belt above me, and he had a wicked spinning back kick. Holy moly, came out of nowhere. Wham. Okay, and yeah, chipped a tooth, even though I had a head thing on. So, but most of our fear isn't that. It's fear of embarrassment. What if I fail? What if they don't like it? I hear that all the time. One of the things I love doing is helping people write their books. You have a book in you. You have a story in you that's world-changing. But I'll bet you're not doing anything with it. I invite you to do that, too. All right. And when I do that with people, help them write their books, next week is the book challenge, and tonight and tomorrow's the concert, we say, what if I fail? What if they don't like it? What if it's not good enough? What if nobody reads it? What if it does? What if my voice cracks? I've had that happen in a performance. I've had, you know, a throat get clogged up for a sec. Well, you just keep going. You just keep going and act like nothing's happening. You just do that. One of the Olympic things, again, I'm using so many examples because they're on right now, is there's a skater right now that's known as the quad god. And quads, which is spinning around four times in the air, used to be impossible. And they started being more and more possible a few years ago. And now this guy had seven quads. And somebody, I think my wife said, Joy said, I wish he would just skate more because all he's doing is spinning. Anyway, one of them, he didn't land. And so, of course, that's disaster in the Olympics. And you know what? He did it. He fell and he was back on his feet before we even knew what happened. And went right on with poise and grace and moved through it. So that's what you do if your voice cracks. That's what you do if your throat hurts. That's what you do if you can't reach a note. That's what you do if the words, you forget a word or a line. And because this is live performance, I'm going to be playing on the keys and singing and telling stories. So what do? Well, you just keep going. And you know why? Because I'm not there for me. I'm there to give whoever decides to come, you, a gift. I'm there to give you a story and a song. A gift about human connection. A gift about loving and lifting each other. And if in the process of giving that gift I spill a little, or I drop a little, so what? The love is in the gift. And when I'm looking at myself, you know, mirror, it's my phone, but mirror, I'm looking at me and I'm like, oh, man, what if they don't like me? What if I screw up? Me, right? What if I turn it around and I say, you. What am I giving you? How can I serve you? How can I lift you? How can I encourage you? How can I bless you? How can I share something with you that'll make you feel good, happy, uplifted, powerful, blessed? Well, you know, when we do that, there's no space for frustration or anger or negativity. There's none. And you know what else disappears? Panic, worry, doubt. Because I'm there with you, and I promise that will be that way for you. I was teaching a class yesterday, and someone was talking about something that they were doing, and they asked me, what about? And they asked me a question just like that. And I said, well, what if you turn the mirror around? What if you're not looking about you? What about me? What if I this, that, and the other? How can I give this gift? So that's something that drops fear immediately and permanently, because you can't be loving and serving and be afraid or concerned about you at the same time. You just can't. The best way to do that is preparation. Because if I'm prepared, whether it's a ski hill, a skating rink, a concert, your presentation in a boardroom, something you're doing at work, or anything else you're doing, if you're prepared, then you can't be afraid. Your training, your preparation will come through. I did the work is the answer to that all the time. I did the work. I did the work, and therefore I am not afraid. Confidence grows crazy big in discipline. Now, here is another truth that even after 40 years or 50, how long have I been performing? I started teaching piano when I was 17, performing certainly then. So I've been performing for 40-something years. And you know what? Even after that, I've been practicing yesterday and today. And when I got on with my coach, everything felt different. Why? Because somebody was watching. Woo! It's human. It's human. So fear, that clenching, that throat tightening, that worry, that doesn't disappear. What matters is my relationship to fear. When you're prepared, you have a different relationship to fear. Okay, because you know you've trained your voice, your fingers, whatever it is, your mind, your wits, your skill, you've trained that. Okay, so it's human. The difference isn't the absence of fear, it's our relationship to it. So the next thing I want to talk about is, why would we do any of that at all? Why would we perform? I don't care if you get up and teach in school, or you do something volunteer in your church, or you teach Sunday school, or you help in the community service center, you know, whatever you do. Why would we do that in the first place and put ourselves in any risk, any public place where there's possibly, you know, this kind of thing, embarrassment or whatever? Why would we do that in the first place? Well, one answer is for fun. Like, you know, I'm sure that kid probably didn't think about the Olympics the first time he put skis on. Or maybe he did. I don't know the story. But anyway, at first it's for fun. Or to try something. Or to just see how something feels. But then staying at it and turning it into that service that I talked about. I am doing this because I love you. That's true for me here right now. It's true for every coaching client that I have. It's true for every book that I write. Where is that true for you? What do you do that is service purely out of love? Small example. I've got a neighbor here, and of course it snows. Every time he goes out and shovels, and he usually beats us out, and because of my back, Joy even does most of it now. I do a little. But you know what I notice? He always comes up 3 or 4 or 5 feet on our side. And sometimes he does the whole sidewalk up to our driveway. I never see it because he's out early. What I do is I see it's done. So what moves us to service? Well, one answer is faith. And I'm not relating this to religion. Faith is a confidence in an outcome. There's somewhere that it's written that faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. So it's not denying difficulty. It is knowing and believing that you have something. You have a purpose, a meaning, a yearning, a commitment to do something in service, even if it's difficult. So let me talk about the concert. Why am I doing this? All the songs that I'm doing, except one, are already recorded. They're released. They're in commercial release. They're on Apple and Spotify and Amazon and everywhere. And I make money from them and I get royalties and all that stuff. So why am I preparing a concert to do live where I could be, you know, exposed? And I'm using me as an example, but obviously that's true for anything. Why would we do that? Well, here's what I know. I know that when we share things in a human-to-human connection, things are different. We learned that so powerfully during COVID. Like, we were all shut away for, you know, some period of time, years and many years in some cases. Kids got behind in school, relationships suffered, depression went up, loneliness went up, all that kind of stuff because of isolation. So the reason we go do things, the reason I'm doing the concert, is to serve regardless of the potential to be exposed or to be revealed or to be, you know, ooh, that's not good, or, you know, that kind of thing. Like an artist showing a painting. All of those things. And we do it because we love each other. We do it because we choose to. And what we've taught each other is that being embarrassed is so bad that I'm not going to show the truth of vulnerability of human connection. What a disease. What a disaster. So when you think about, I want you to think about your skills and gifts. I've talked about Olympics and skiing and martial arts and all that stuff, skating and my own concert. But what's yours? What are you doing purely out of love to serve, to lift, to bless, to be of value in your community, in your family, in your church, wherever it is, in your school? Why are you doing that? You're doing it out of love. Love for your fellow beings. Love because you can. Love because you're trying to add good to the world. That kind of love pushes fear right off the playing field, right out of the park. And so if you want to go and do a performance of any kind without fear, focus on love. Focus on your faith, your belief in humanity, in yourself, and in what you're about. Guided by faith means this, really simply. I do the work. Why? Because I believe in what I'm doing. The second thing is I show up. Not a little, not half-assed, not half-baked, but prepared and all in. That's why I do it. And then I just trust the outcome. One of the things that eliminated fear and reluctance to perform, is I decided, there was no magic in it, I simply decided that whatever happens, it's okay. If my voice cracks or I fail or I forget some words or play something, it's okay. I will be okay. It will do good and the people will enjoy the show. I found that to be true all the time. All right, so that's about getting rid of fear and how to get rid of it and using love and faith as your guiding stars. So there's there's a couple other things that we're going to talk about today. One of them I call lose the lazy. We have developed into, not everybody, but by and large, 95% of people struggle with something I call the addiction to mediocrity. We choose to be satisfied with half-baked. Why do we do that? We choose to be satisfied with, good enough. We make excuses by saying, I can't do that anyway. It's not worth the effort. Well, you know what? We're free to do that. You're free to give up or to quit or to be, you know, settle for half measures, but you're also free to go build and get and have exactly what you want. You're free to do the preparation and the work and to fall in love with the process. That would be true if you're skiing or skating or singing or playing or painting your house. You're free to fall in love with that. Fall in love with excellence. Radical excellence. Holy crap, what would that mean? That would mean that you and me, we choose everything that we do, we're going to do it excellently. Why? Because we can. Not because we're going to stack applause. We're not going to stack a line of people around saying, wow, that's really good, nice paint job. No, you have the internal satisfaction and joy of knowing you did it good. So lazy isn't just physical. You know, we have jokes about couch potatoes and all that sort of thing where, you know, people are physically lazy. And we know what the result of that is. We have an obesity epidemic that's partly because of that sedentary lifestyle and horrifying food. Well, all of those are choices and fixable. Not exercising, couch potato, eating lousy food, all those things are choices, right? But I'm talking about with yourself. You're a divine being. You have gifts and talents that I am in awe of, even though I'm not sitting across from you. But people sometimes ask me, Kellen, how do you know that? You just say that crap. Well, here's what I do know. Every person, without exception, everyone that I've had the privilege of actually sitting with, either on Zoom, I love it more in person, but either on Zoom or in person, where we can have a real conversation and I get the privilege of learning about them, you know, where they came from, what they're about, what they've been through in their life, what their aspirations and goals are, what they want to create. Every single person without exception is awesome. Every single one of them. I love them. I love them. I love them. And that means you. And you say, well, how can you do that? Because the number of things, the number of ways that people are up to good preparing for their own ski jump just blows my mind. I know a guy right now, Joy's doing a project for him, creating a book trailer. He's writing a leadership book. Now, this is a Harvard MBA guy. He's going to be a guest. He's turning leadership into love. He's teaching how to lead with love. I'm going to get rid of all the old leadership models, control, authority, and we're going to replace this with honor, integrity, love, encouragement, etc. Wow, what an awesome way to add good to the world. I know another lady right now. She's in New York City. She's building a program that she's offering, going to get offered to companies where employees, like think employee assistants. So when I used to work in corporate, they brought in, they didn't have such a thing to start with, but in later years they had employee assistants where you could go talk to somebody if you had struggles or problems at home or alcohol or whatever. And everybody was scared too because they were afraid it wasn't really anonymous and they were going to get in trouble. And so nobody used it and a little bit, all that kind of stuff. So that's grown as we have realized more and more truthfully that employees are our best capital. So anyway, I know two people right now. In fact, I connected them both because I was talking to this lady about this whole ecosystem. That's what I was looking for, that she's building to help people have access to the best healing modalities and the best kinds of help that you get for emotional and spiritual and other kinds of issues, energetic, if you don't like the word spiritual, and as selling it to companies as part of their employee help, employee assistance kind of thing. Not in a bad way, but in a recognition that when people are prepared, it's like the ski jump guy. Can you imagine somebody doing that? If he was dealing with personal problems and was frustrated about this, that, and the other, his attention wouldn't have been on the jump and he wouldn't have showed up like he did and would have crashed and burned. Employees, relationships are the same. And this has to do with preparation. But you know what I notice? Again, addiction to mediocrity. We just settle. We're too flipping lazy. There's even ads, the easy button, right? You've seen those. We're all looking for the easy. Why? Like, of course, do things the best and most efficient way. But what is it about easy, lazy, takes no effort, don't have to think, don't have to work? Why do we find that attractive? When I was doing martial arts, and I did them regularly for probably 20 years, and it cost me, that's the reason I have back problems now, and that's okay. There's no easy button to learn martial arts well. There just isn't. It takes the work, the blood on the floor, the stretching, the limberness, the constant repetition of the kata, the movements, the sparring, the fighting. There's no easy button there. Yo-Yo Ma is music. There's no easy button there. So what we do, and I want to talk about lazy in the broadest context, it's not just physical, it's emotional avoidance. I used to struggle with that. I didn't want to practice hard because I was afraid I couldn't learn something anyway. And if I didn't practice hard, then I had the excuse of, well, I didn't really try that hard. So no wonder I don't have it. That's just a blatant form of procrastination. And what that really is the slow death of dreams. Slow death of dreams. Why do we do that to ourselves? You're more important than that. You're more valuable than that. You're more capable than that. You're a divine being. You're a child of God, for goodness sakes. So emotional avoidance, spiritual procrastination. And by spiritual, I mean energetic, whatever. Those are the stories about I'm not good enough. I'll never make it. I've been told all these things. The stories that we buy into. So I want you to identify right now where in your life are you being emotionally lazy? Where are you being physically lazy if somewhere? Where are you putting off things that you know in your heart you want them, you want the outcome, and you're avoiding the work? Technology sometimes comes to make things easier. So AI has just come in the last 2 or 3 or 4 years, really heavily in the last couple of years. And it's made research and writing and creation all completely change, different. So when I teach people to write now, I do it completely differently than I used to. But when I was doing it before, 5 years ago, for example, I started 13 years ago, but I would teach people to dictate. Don't type, for several reasons, about editing and dictate. And then it was a software called Dragon. So I was using technology to make that easier. Today we have a new piece of technology, AI. You can talk to it, and it helps you write. And so it removes that barrier. It removes and makes that easier. But it does not get over the fear of it's not good enough, nobody will read it, who cares, all that kind of stuff. So one of the phrases I want you to stay with, that I want to stay with you today in terms of preparing for the show, which is life, is lose the lazy. Okay, lose it. Rehearse when you don't feel like it. I'm using musical terms, rehearse. That might be a play. It might be music. It might be your lessons. It might be your homework. It might be the project you have due for work. It might be a relationship you're trying to salvage. It might be how you treat your wife or your husband. Rehearse the performance, even when you don't feel like it. Rehearse. Why? Because it raises the base skill level. It raises the floor. When you rehearse and rehearse and rehearse, even when you get in high-pressure situations, because you've done things so much, the floor, which is your minimum performance, goes up and up and up and up. And so even if you forget everything, you default to that level of rehearsal. You do, because you've trained your mind, your mouth, your body, your thinking, your arms, your legs, whatever you're preparing for, you have prepared for it. I can tell you that's true in martial arts, because when you're sparring with someone and you're sparring like for real, I'm not talking about toy stuff, meaning strikes and hits and kicks that land and knock you down and hurt, you know, it can be fearful. It can be like, holy crap, I got to be careful. And that fear comes up. And if you've rehearsed the moves and the blocks and the movements really powerfully, it doesn't matter what you forget. Your body remembers. So rehearse, even when you don't feel like it, because it raises the floor of your performance. Practice the hard parts. And again, I'm using things from piano practice. Same for my performance for tomorrow. Practice the hard parts. Like in a long song, when I was in high school, I learned to play Rhapsody in Blue, which is like 29 pages, about 20-minute piece with a duet, piano and the band. Well, it was easy to play. Well, it wasn't easy, but I'd learned to play many of the parts fairly well, really well. But there were two or three parts that were hard. And so I would practice them a little bit extra, but I didn't put in 10 times the amount of effort into those parts. So when it came time for the performance, there was a struggle. There didn't need to be. I didn't fall in love with it. I didn't demand that kind of excellence. So make the effort. Fall in love with the process. Showing up, like in the last days, we've got the Olympics and all these things going on where people have fallen in love with the process. They've hired the right coach. They've made a commitment to themselves to go all in and show up. So again, my question, where are you not showing up in your life? You're worth it. We need you. I need you to be all that you can be. Somebody's waiting for your excellence. Somebody's going to see your love and your preparation as a model. Somebody's going to say, wow, if they can do that, I can do it. If they put up with that, I'm going for it. So I want you to think about what is the thing that drives that kind of preparation and work. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It is love. Love is the force that holds the universe together. Literally. I don't know how it works, and I don't know the physics, but that love, which is a passion to serve, I have a definition, a working definition that I use for love, and I'll give it to you. Love is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice to use your spiritual, physical, emotional, and mental resources to serve somebody. If I use my energetic or spiritual, my physical resources, my time, my emotion, my mental energy to go serve someone, I love them. That's why I can say that I love you, because I do. So love is the foundation. That's where we get the fuel. If you're looking for the fuel, that is completely, love is completely incompatible with lazy, right? Love is the engine that drives us to excellence. Love of the game, love of the sport, love of each other, love of humanity, love of yourself. How much effort and energy do you put into preparing yourself for your life? We started the whole thing at the top saying preparing for the show, and then made the observation that's always true, that your life is your show. Every day is your performance and mine. Once in a while, we have an extra performance, like I've got a concert tomorrow. But most of the time, it's just showing up for yourself because you love you. You love the people you serve. And again, that's turning the light outwards instead of looking at the mirror and always saying, what's in it for me? What's it going to cost me? Me, 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 me. That is not the path to the ultimate life. What do I get out of this is not the path to purpose, prosperity, and joy. How can I lift? How can I love? How can I bless you? So I ask you that. If you are a person who's living your ultimate life, please get a hold of me. I want to talk to you. I like to talk with and learn from you who have accomplished these things. KellenFlukigerMedia.com. It's a website. Kellen Flukiger Media. Go there. Use the contact form. I want to talk to you. Maybe you want to come and share your message on the show or on the podcast. Maybe you need to write a book about your growth and the choices you've made. So that's one invitation. Another invitation is if you know somebody that is living that kind of life, I'd like an introduction. The third invitation is this. If you're struggling, if you hear the words that I've said and you've either said, Kellen, you're full of crap, or darn, I wish that was true for me, get a hold of me anyway. Kellen Flukiger Media, use the contact form because I want to help you. That's my mission. I have a big goal, 300 million people. loving yourself enough to get good at what you do. Love yourself enough to be proud of who you are. Love yourself enough to be committed and prepared for your life every day. Whether your day is a concert tomorrow or it's skiing down a ridiculously high hill with what felt like thousands of seconds of hang time while you spin around in crazy fashion. Love turns discipline into devotion. You're worth it. You're powerful and growth-oriented. We're built to love, to serve, to grow, and to give. So let's lean into that. The real stage isn't the concert for tomorrow. It's the meeting you might be avoiding, or the story you're afraid to tell, or the relationship you might be afraid to repair. I love you. It's time to drop the fear and lose the lazy. Be guided by faith and fueled by love. If you do that, I promise you can live every day as your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.